Hey, I'm really, really pleased to have Robert Pilot on. And if you're a regular listener to AM 950 and you hear Robert's sultry tones, you might start thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, is this a Saturday afternoon? Should I be doing my Saturday rhythm? But no, it's a Thursday at 4 o'clock. But Robert, thanks so much for being on the afternoon show today.
Doug, thanks for having me on and talking about these really important issues.
Yeah, we are going to talk about two important issues, both of which you care about, and people can learn more about all of this, obviously, when they listen to your show, I'm Awake, on Saturday afternoons. But I've been hearing so much conversation around this homeless encampment in Minneapolis, and I don't know why it's become a news story because there was such a tragic circumstance where a person named Alyssa died of an asthma attack or as a result of not getting treatment from an asthma attack. But what a lot of people are now finding out is that nearly 300 people are living in a semi-permanent space in South Minneapolis. And that'll come as a shock to people, even if they're familiar with the East Franklin and 16th Avenue sort of area over there. They're surprised, I think, to find out that there's that many people who are living there and have been living there for so long, and it's become a near-on permanent sort of place. Can you tell us anything that you know about the people that are there and what's going on and how the city of Minneapolis and Hennepin County need to engage more in more healthy ways to help the people who are living in that space?
Right. I think there's a group out there right now called Natives Against Heroin, and it's run by James Cross, and they've been there the whole time helping facilitate food, helping facilitate. I know my wife and I, we brought up a lot of supplies, and we bring them to the tent there, the Natives Against Heroin tent, and they kind of hand them out because they do not, shy away from anyone there. Anyone can be there. There's tents. There's over 140 tents. There's over 300 people, and most of them are Native Americans, and they've kind of dubbed it the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and I really believe that, too. And it's a plethora of different ages, all the way from newborn to 77, 78-year-old people there. And I believe Minneapolis and St. Paul don't have a homeless problem. They really have a housing problem, Doug. And it's really become apparent because all these people have gathered to this area, but they've already been without housing across the whole city. And they just heard about this encampment and that people were getting food and supplies and tents. And they came there because frankly, they're getting help quicker than possibly they would by going through the quote unquote normal routes. I talked to a couple that, was robbed and they had no money and they were migrant workers and they had no money and they saw the encampment and came and they said they got help within 2 hours. They got a tent, a place to sleep, food in their belly, quicker than what they tried to do when they did, try to get services from the city of Minneapolis. So there's a lot of people out there trying to help. And again, there's no judging. I think there's drug use going on out there. There's things happening out there, but nobody's being kicked out, and they're all trying to be helped. There's counselors out there for Rule 25 to get people in treatment that want to have treatment. There's a gray cloud over the head of the forgotten natives, and you know. There's talk about at the end of the month that they're going to be forced out of there. And then there's also talk, too, that the mayor is going to, they're looking at a place to house them. So there's a lot of talk going on, but not much action. And that's the sad thing. I know there's been a lot of people going over there and donating a lot of things to our people. And that's very appreciative. But it's going to be cold soon. And I know we brought about 5 or 6 tents over there, and it's like it's cold at night.
Those little skinny tents. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's no way for a city to respond. It's no way for a county to respond to this kind of as you say to this kind of housing crisis that there's this many people who find themselves in that.
If I could interrupt you for a second, too, I think please, when my blood pressure goes up, is it's in the. It's in the shadows of a billion-dollar stadium. We had a Super Bowl here this past year, and again, I'm a red-blooded male. I like football, but you know they kicked out a lot of people out of housing and homeless people. They moved them out because they didn't want the city to look bad in front of all these guests that the NFL made billions of dollars on. So it irritates me that. That the city can have this, give a $1 billion stadium to billionaires, basically. And I mean, it costs more to make that stadium than it went to fly to Mars. And I'll never step foot in that stadium for many reasons, but it just irritates me that we can't help our people.
Right.
And that it's moving so slow.
Well, Robert, I mean, I'm really with you on that. And not only the money that was spent and the money that became, a part of funding and underwriting that stadium, but just the proactive nature at which people for the stadium made sure that the right amount of land was set aside so that you could spend all this money on the stadium and the occupants that went with it, right? And here you have people right in the shadow of it. Who can't find enough places to put up the kind of housing that we need. It's a trouble all the way through the system from land use all the way to the tax increment financing that goes into underwriting these kinds of big projects. And I hope that this and the work that you're doing in raising this and, whether it's the people, as you say, who work with Natives Against Heroin or any of the other people who are there, will just start to look around at one another and say, this is no way for us to choose to use our land. Our society has such a history of misusing the land, from taking it from the native peoples first and then polluting it and then privatizing it and then not allowing for people to even care for one another in a place like this. So this pressure that's on them and the lack of support. And I know that there's pressure because I hear it from people who are involved with the city and the county. They say, well, there's only so much we can do because we don't want to encourage people to stay here long term. In other words, we don't want them here, right? So we have to care for their basic
today. They put up two teepees, and that's a sign right there that they put up two full size teepees, and that they're not going anywhere. And I think that we're as you kind of alluded to, we're the first people here of this nation, and we've been they've tried to kill us off for centuries, and we're used to this. We're used to being in the bottom of the barrel, and right now I think. With things that have happened in the past recently with Standing Rock and people that are engaged and resist. And we have 45 trying to take away rights. They just defederalized a nation that's been around since the 1830s. I mean, we're used to being attacked. And I think there's a lot of people that aren't going to stand for this. And we're used to be talked at and put out in front when people want natives out there to show off, but when it comes down to the brass tacks of helping the natives with housing and with things that they need, and the opiate problem is a huge problem in the native community, but people were going to jail for that until it hit the suburbs, and now people are trying to help people with the opiate problems all of a sudden. So we have a lot of discrepancies between the people of the First Nation and the people, the 1% people with all the money and are trying to kill us off for the last 500 years.
Robert, if there's something people could do right now, what would you advise them to do? Should they get more informed about this issue? Should they call someone? Should they bring something to support the people that are inside the encampment? What's the best thing that someone could do if they're in or around the Minneapolis or South Minneapolis, St. Paul area?
I think the best thing to do is to call the mayor's office. Mm-hmm. And I think the second best thing to do is bring water. Bring water to the camp. Third thing to do is to shake somebody's hand that's at the camp, because they're human beings. They're people that maybe took a left turn instead of a right turn. There's a lot of people there that are able-bodied people that are just down on their luck. We have drug addicts and people with mental illness there, but also there's people, there's you and me, there's neighbors there. Go up there, bring some water, bring a case of water. I know they go through 9 cases of water a day up there. There's, like I said earlier, there's like 300 people there, and most of them are Native Americans. Go up there and look them straight in the eye and say hello to them.
That's great. And I imagine if people are bringing in that much water, there's all kinds of bottles that need to be taken out and garbage that needs to be cared for and kind of the infrastructure that needs to be in place to support that number of people. That's Robert Pilot. He's going to stick around. We have another important conversation to have here after the break. But stick with us. And unless you're going to get in your car and head down to that encampment, you ought to do that too. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
It's fun. There ain't no sin to be glad you're alive. I wanna find one face that ain't looking for me. I wanna find
hey,
one
place. Here at 4:21. Thursday and talking with Robert Pilot. Robert, thank you so much for that great conversation. You have another point of interest, which is matters to a lot of us, and it's a bit of a story. The Star Tribune tells the story about the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission having a bit of a kerfluffle happen on Tuesday in their meeting. There's not normally a lot of action that happens at a Minnesota Public Utilities Commission meeting. That's sort of a part of the political process that's out of view for most people and, frankly, out of interest for many people if they even hear someone on the radio or anywhere else talk about the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. They'll often say to themselves, I don't know what it is, and don't know if I have the energy to care about it. But it really matters a lot, and I think that's why it's so important that you're bringing up this issue. In this particular case, there is a hearing going on to try to come to some conclusion about this Enbridge pipeline. And for people who haven't followed this, this is that pipeline up in northern Minnesota that wants to run from Canada, taking Canadian oil, across northern Minnesota so they can get to Superior, Wisconsin, then out into the ferries. And they're trying to remake this pipeline under the auspices that it's aging and it's not functioning very well and it's dangerous, and they want to run a new pipeline. Well, on Tuesday, protesters showed up at the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission and had bullhorns, and then some had T-shirts on, and stirred it up. And I'm an activist myself, so I've been in these kinds of situations and have been hauled away by the police. So I understand the perspective of protesters wanting to arrest people's attention for issues that matter to them. And were you a part of that particular effort?
No, not this week. I wasn't. Again, Doug, thanks for having me on. And I think it's important to know a few things about this. Well, let's back up a second out of your question. They have these meetings at 9 o'clock during the day, the Public Utilities Commission. So people, I'm a high school teacher also, and it's hard for me to get off during the school year. Now, I was going to a lot of meetings when I was off this summer, but, you know, Enbridge has people in light green shirts that they pay to be there. And you know, people that go down there on their own dime, pay for their own parking, get their own food. And we're going up a multi-billion dollar company that isn't even from this country or from the, you know, they're Canadian. And they're going right through sacred lands and rice fields and, up north in Bemidji. And it's just not right. Again, you know, I kind of alluded to this last time, is that Native Americans are invisible. You know, we don't have a say even in our own land, you know, and that's a thing that has to stop. I wouldn't have a radio show on a Native Roots Radio on AM 950 if the people of Bismarck would have let the pipeline go originally through their city. Instead, they forced it into Standing Rock, and we all know how that started and went. But right now, with what's happening with this company with tar sands, the dirtiest oil that you can get, it's like peanut butter, and you have to run it through these pipes with some kind of chemical that makes it slide through quicker. So it's the worst kind of oil that you can get. You know, we say solar and wind, and where is this oil going? It's going to other countries. And, you know, with Standing Rock and that pipeline down there, there's 3 full-time employees watching for when the pipelines are going to leak. I mean, so we have a whole bunch of misnomers about these pipelines. And again, it almost comes again to the race and the First Nation people, that we're going to like have pipelines leak. That's all there's to it. And I need to take a breath here, but it's just so irritating to see this with my own eyes.
Well, and the point that you're making is that when people in who live in Bismarck heard that these pipelines are going to run through the part of Bismarck where you know, North Dakotans live, and they said no, we don't want that thing running through here. You're not going to send a pipeline through here. That's dangerous.
They leak.
That's unattractive. Run it somewhere else. And then when the people who for whom that land is their land started to say, don't run that pipeline here, they turned into protesters, where the other people turned into like citizens that you want to hear from. That's it was about as blatant, and still is, even in this hearing that happened on Tuesday, about as blatant of a different set of rules for different groups of people as you can get. Now, I know that the people in this protest, and this happens a lot if you're around protest culture, is they'll say, well, look, everybody has a right to be heard. This is the pushback. But that protest just went a little too far. That just crossed the line, was the phrase that they used. The purpose of crossing a line when you're a protester is that if you stay on your side of the line, you'd never get listened to, or your ideas stay stuck on the wrong side of the line. So if all the power is on the other side of the line, that's precisely what you have to do, is to cross the other line. Exactly. Because in this case, that's what the Enbridge pipeline did, is it crossed the line into lands that were meaningful and significant to peoples who were not being included in the conversation.
Right. And, you know, it's been 2 years ago, probably a week ago, that they put the attack dogs on people in Standing Rock. And also they wheelbarreled over plowed over the burial grounds there with at night when people weren't around. So, you know, I was there on Thanksgiving, and there was 20,000 people there at Standing Rock. It was the second largest city, and I guess why I go back to Standing Rock, it's kind of my go-to because of my activism really started there because of the things that I saw personally, is that Minnesota is looking for another Standing Rock, and it's closer. Bemidji's mm-hmm. closer than North Dakota was, and a lot of people that were at Standing Rock were from Minnesota. So, I mean, this is heading in the wrong direction right now.
Well, and it seemed like what happened on Tuesday is that the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission postponed their meeting when the protesters started talking mm-hmm. loudly through a bullhorn, and then wore shirts and kind of did general disruption. And mm-hmm. they just clearly had the power to not listen to those protests, and they'll just keep postponing a decision until they can finally make their way through the decision in a way that becomes uninterrupted. And that power that lies in the hands of the commission to not have to engage and not have to listen to the protesters seems to so many of us to be part of the problem in our society. Is there any suggestion you have for people who aren't willing to maybe be a protester, but they could do something? Do you have a sense of a toolkit of what some people could do?
I think one thing I want to slightly correct you about, I know we talk more about being water protectors than protesters. And
sure.
So the verbiage is just a little different. But I think supporting, if you can't do anything, you support a group like MN350, Winona LaDuke's group, Honor the Earth, who's been fighting this battle for many years, the Sierra Club, support them. And like them on Facebook and see what's going on, because they definitely are on top of what's happening when people like us have a full-time job and can't keep track of what they're doing.
Well, Robert, you do a lot, so please don't ever feel like you're not doing enough. We really appreciate your show, appreciate you being on this show,
and
for all the good work.
I really appreciate you having me on, and you're doing a great job. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, how nice of you. Thanks, man. Hey, same 950, and we'll be back in the all the time here after the break. Never grown. They just blown around.